Well, hello, hockey fans, and welcome back to the Hockey Writers Summer Preview Series. I'm Mark Schag. I am one of the writers for the Columbus Blue Jackets on the site. And if you tuned in last week, we had the pleasure of talking to TSN senior writer Frank Saravalli, and we talked about the Metropolitan Division. We previewed, you know, who's going to win the division, if five teams could possibly make the playoffs, things like that. But this week, we figured we'd turn our attention to something a little bit different from that, the world of fantasy hockey. And he believed we're already getting toward the end of August. It's already time to start thinking about draft strategy, rankings, sleepers, anything that's going to help you get an edge. And to do that, we figure we bring someone who does this for a living. And to get us started here, let's bring in NHL.com's fantasy insider, Matt Sitkoff. Matt, thanks for joining us. How are you tonight?
Oh, doing great. Yeah, I can't believe it's getting closer and closer to that time to start thinking about drafting and ranking and, especially paying attention to a lot of those training camp battles.
Oh, and there's going to be a lot of those for sure, and it's amazing how quick the summer has gone, that we're already thinking about training camps and a lot of the rookie tournaments are coming up. I mean, it's less than a month away. Just where did all this time go?
Hopefully everyone spent enough time on the beach and relaxed and, getting ready for it all, because, of course, the time flies by in the offseason. That is, there's no doubt about that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's jump right into this. So, you know, with anything, you kind of start at the top, and there are a handful of players out there that you can legitimately argue that could be the top player, you know, Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, Steven Stamkos. I mean, Jamie Benn won the scoring title last year. John Tavares, Tyler Seguin, if he stays healthy. Evgeny Malkin is an MVP before. You know, I kind of give the edge to Ovechkin slightly, but Matt, if you had the top pick, who are you taking in that spot and why would you take them?
Yeah, it's been, I think right now it's the closest it's ever been. I think for me, the last, I would say, 2 to 3 years, Sidney Crosby was way ahead of the competition. But right now, I think it's Alex Ovechkin. I think you're right. I think, you look at his numbers the last three seasons, 136 goals, 216 points, 142 penalty minutes, 25 game-winning goals, 65 power play goals, 1,001 shots, and 583 hits. I mean, this guy just hits every category, is as consistent as it can be. Obviously, I think it's a 1 and 1A between Ovechkin and Crosby. As we know, Crosby is the only player over those last three seasons to have more points than Ovechkin. The one thing I do think is I think really we saw a lot of great improvement under Barry Trotz last season. He really fit in that system. And let's not forget, in the offseason, we always like seeing what these teams added. And let's not forget, yes, Phil Kessel's in Pittsburgh now, but I could probably see him playing more with Malkin and Crosby staying with his Patrick Hornquist, who he had a lot of great chemistry with. And I think you look at who the Capitals added, TJ Oshie and Justin Williams, either one of those guys can play on the right wing on the top line with Ovechkin and Backstrom. And I think right now it's very, very close. And I would say in a lot of instances, flip a coin, because if you have the top two picks and you get Ovechkin or Crosby, you're starting off your fantasy hockey season on the right foot.
Yeah, there's not much better way to start there at all when you have just players of that caliber. And, you know, when you do take a look at those kind of players, those top picks, you know, what do you see is the biggest determining factor in separating top talent like that, especially when they are so close and you say they're even historically close?
Yeah, I would say probably three factors I look at. I look at consistency, I look at durability, and I look at category coverage. Those are kind of three main categories I look at. And I think that's what I think Ovechkin has a little bit, more of a push. I mean, 50 goal scorers don't happen, very often in this league. And obviously Ovechkin has had 650 goal season. And, durability. Ovechkin has played 760 of his 786 games in his career. And just production. And like I mentioned, I mean, 142 penalty minutes, game-winning goals, power play points, shots on goal, hits. I think Ovechkin right now just hits a little bit more categories than Sidney Crosby, especially in one of those roto fantasy leagues that kind of take penalty minutes and shots on goal, which is becoming a very huge fantasy category. You know, Alex Ovechkin, there's no one better than Alex Ovechkin right now at shots on goal.
Yeah, for sure. Just so many things that he does, and it doesn't seem like he's slowing down anytime soon either. So it'll be really exciting to see how he can continue that. So if you're in a position, you know, let's kind of switch our attention a little bit here. If we're still on the top, there's goalies and defensemen out there that are really, really good. And, you know, forwards do have a lot of value, as we talked about. But, you know, Carey Price won all those awards last year and just put up insane numbers. And a defenseman like Erik Karlsson just putting up just huge offensive numbers. So we wanted to ask, where do you have each of those players ranked? And then if you had to make a decision between taking a Price, a Karlsson, and a top forward, you know, how do you choose?
Yeah, absolutely. I think first, you know, look at Carey Price. Obviously, he's the number one goalie by far. He will be the first goalie off every draft board, as he should be after he had a season where he had 44 wins, 1.96 goals against average. I mean, those numbers are just unheard of. 933 save percentage. And let's not forget, this guy over his career has been that good. You know, with a career 919 save percentage. I think you look at him more at the sixth overall pick. He will be the only goalie, in my opinion, taken in the first round. I would not take him over Ovi. I would not take him over Crosby. Not over John Tavares. Not over Jamie Benn or Tyler Seguin. Right there, I think if you have the sixth overall pick, I target Carey Price. I'm looking at him over a lot of other forwards after those top five. For Erik Karlsson, again, number one defenseman, I think, you know, P.K. Subban obviously makes it a little bit closer as number one and two defensemen in fantasy hockey. It's not as far a gap as Carey Price is, the number two goalie. So I think for me, I see him more as a top 20 pick in a 10-team league. You're probably looking at him in the second round. I see about 19 other forwards, and obviously Carey Price ahead of him. The one thing you got to think of, I mean, Erik Karlsson, which is really something that's been, you know, historic for him. Obviously, back-to-back 20-goal seasons, only active players with two 20-plus goal seasons are Shea Weber, Sergei Gonchar, and Dustin Byfuglien, and obviously Dustin Byfuglien an asterisk behind his. But, you know, I think you look at those guys, and you're saying, yeah, it's Erik Karlsson. And then it's P.K. Subban, you know, 1 and 1-2. And that's why I'm saying maybe there's a couple of forwards ahead of him. I'm not looking at him until the second round because the gap between the number one goalie and the number two goalie is just a much bigger in a Carey Price's example.
Absolutely. And I wanted to follow up just talking about Price. If you were sitting with the sixth pick, would you take Carey Price or Steven Stamkos?
I would take Carey Price. I think right now you look at Carey Price, and I think, like I said, I think there is no goalie close to him as the top fantasy goalie. I think we've only scratched the surface of how good this guy could be, and that's pretty scary considering the season he had last year. You know, he carries that team. Montreal has gotten better, both offensively and defensively. You know, and I think for me, Steven Stamkos, the one thing that I'm a little worried about is he even the number one? Is he even on the top line of his own team? I mean, let's look at Tyler Johnson, Andre Palat, and Nikita Kucherov, what they did for the Tampa Bay Lightning in their run to the Stanley Cup. And, I mean, obviously Stamkos' time on ice has not really suffered as much because of those guys' development, but you know, I think for me right now, I think it's Carey Price number six, and you're right, probably right after him at number seven. I'm looking at maybe a Steven Stamkos or even a Claude Giroux.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's interesting when you get to that night, you know, how you want to make that decision. So, kind of wanted to turn our attention a little bit here to, you know, some pretty big names are now in new cities this year, and we wanted to get where you have these particular players ranked and then what kind of expectation you have for the season for them. And we wanted to start with the number one overall pick in this past draft in Connor McDavid, where, you know, I got to cover him last year and he was just so good. You know, I'm personally of the opinion he could be a point-a-game player. Where do you see him fit, and where do you think he goes in the draft?
Oh, yeah, I think, obviously, I have him ranked really high this year. I think I would not be unheard of in some keeper leagues to be taken in the first round, especially in keeper leagues. Maybe a non-keeper league, you're looking at him and maybe a second or third round pick. You know, I did some research on the past five Calder winners because, let's be honest, I think he is the favorite for the Calder Trophy already this season. Yeah. And the last past five winners averaged, you know, obviously it's Nathan MacKinnon, Huberto, Gabriel Landeskog, and Jeff Skinner. They've averaged 22.75 goals, 29.5 assists, and 52.5 points.
Mm.
I expect Connor McDavid to exceed all of those. Right. I would not be shocked if he has 25 to 30 goals and 60 to 65 points. I think this guy, you know, I've gotten to see him play just like you, and I think this guy, the sky's the limit with him. It's super exciting, especially with this line. You put him with the Taylor Hall, and I mean, I think that this is going to be a fun player to watch. And obviously, if you get your hands on him in a keeper league, watch out.
Yeah, you're set for many, many years, 10-plus years if you're doing that. And you know, the 15 draft also produced the second overall pick, who is just as generational, a lot of people are saying, in Jack Eichel. And then he joins a cast of new characters in Buffalo and Evander Kane and Ryan O'Reilly. So what do you expect from those three players this year?
Yeah, Jack Eichel, I mean, obviously, I think you're looking at another guy that, you know, could definitely make an immediate impact. I'm maybe looking at him in the closer to a third round in a keeper league and maybe a fourth, fifth round in a regular league. Obviously, I think the center position is a little more deeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I definitely think he's a generational talent. I kind of look at him more as like a Gabriel Landeskog. You know, when he won the Calder, 82 games played, 52 points, I could see Eichel putting those kind of numbers up. He, you know, a very durable guy, 82 games played, probably 50-something points. I'm really excited to see him. Evander Kane, I think it's going to be so exciting to see him, flourish in a system that... you know, I think for him, he just needed that new, fresh start. Obviously, it was not working out in Winnipeg, you know, and it was pretty obvious to that. But let's not forget, this guy is a guy who has scored 30 goals in the league before. You know, obviously, it was, you know, 2011-12. But I could see him scoring 25 to 30 goals this year. And Ryan O'Reilly, I think for me, I'm not as high on him. I think, obviously, you know, the price is set pretty high for Ryan O'Reilly, you know, to trade two first-round picks, you know, in Grigorenko and Zadorov for him. You know, he's probably, you know, his career is, you know, 0.58 points per game. I think that's what you're looking at from this guy, not his 64 points that he had 2 years ago. I think you're looking at 40 to 50 points from him.
Mm-hmm.
Again, very durable player, obviously, the last 2 years playing pretty close to maximum games. I'm not as high as on him as I am on Jack Eichel and Evander Kane and Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, they're going to be really exciting to watch this year, and just Buffalo as an overall whole, the city is just on fire for it. Can't wait to see what happens. And another player that's a lot of fans are excited to see do is Phil Kessel in Pittsburgh. He gets to join the wing of either Crosby or Malkin, and you know he's an established scorer. So just how high do you think somebody like Phil Kessel goes now?
You know, obviously doing a lot of research on Phil Kessel, and Claude Giroux was the only player with 227 goals with more points than Kessel.
Jeez.
From 2011-12 to 2013-14. I think this guy is all-world talent. I think he, again, just like Evander Kane, just needed to get out of, you know, Toronto. Mm-hmm. Still produced 61 points last year in a dreadful team. You know, again, 0.78 points per game or average. I mean, this guy needs to be targeted very high in your draft. You know, I would not be shocked if he goes first round in most, 10 to 11 team drafts. I right now have him ranked as probably my close, maybe, I'm right now is seventh. Right now, seventh ranked player in the whole NHL. I think I'm very high on this guy. I think no matter he plays with Crosby, he plays with Malkin, he plays with both, I think this guy is going to have a breakout. Obviously he's had breakout season with already two 80-point-plus seasons, but I think, you know, you're looking at 40 goals, 80 points easily for Joel Castle this season.
Yeah, that's, wow, seventh overall. That's definitely a statement for sure. A lot of people to consider in that first round. And, you know, kind of, you mentioned him a little bit earlier here, wanted to talk about TJ Oshie. Now he's going to be playing possibly on the top line with Alex Ovechkin. You know, what do you expect from him? You know, do you think the Ovi factor will help him produce?
Yeah, I think the Ovi factor will absolutely help him produce. I think we've obviously seen him kind of almost be stagnant in St. Louis with about, you know, we're looking at him as a 55 to 60 point getter, you know, the last couple of years. I think obviously right here you're looking at him easily getting 60 points playing on a wing with Alex Ovechkin and Nick Batchum. I think it would be very easy for Barry Trotz to play all three of these guys together. They're just, you know, obviously you look at TJ Oshie, he's more of a setup guy with over 200 assists and only 110 goals. So, again, Backstrom, another guy who's a setup guy. So it seems to really fit well with Alex Ovechkin. Just feed him the puck, and guess what? Your point total will go up.
Yeah, in fact, Frank Saravalli, when we talked to him last week, even admitted he thinks Oshie can get 75 to 85 points, and if that happens, whoa, quite a statement there for sure. And wanted to switch over here. The Columbus Blue Jackets made a splash by acquiring Brandon Saad from the Chicago Blackhawks, and you know the talk is that he's going to join the top line, possibly to Ryan Johansson's left. So we wanted to get your take on Brandon Saad, where you have him ranked, and then do you feel like his production in Chicago, I mean, he scored over 20 goals last year, was that a direct representation of playing with Jonathan Toews, and is he going to continue that with Columbus?
Yeah, the man child, right? That's what we all like to call him. We're really excited to see what he can do now that he's, you know, going to be part of being more the man instead of the other guy, right? I mean, I think obviously the Columbus Blue Jackets run through Ryan Johansson and Nick Foligno, but obviously Brandon Saad will probably be right up there. You know, I think for me, I kind of have him rated more as a fourth round pick. I don't know if I'm as high on him as a lot of other pundits, but I think for sure you're looking at a guy who could easily have 20 goals this year. I mean, I think obviously the last 2 years he had 19 and 23, so you're looking at, you know, obviously he's going to probably score around that 20 goal range. You know, maybe 50 points is his plateau. I think it'll be interesting to see. But we all know what Ryan Johansson could do, and we're all really excited to see this player continue to grow into a superstar in the league. And now that he's going to be playing with, you know, a Brandon Saad, it's super exciting. And like I said, I think I have him as third or fourth round guy, you know, which is pretty high for a winger. But I think we also have to temper the expectations and maybe look at a 20 or a 50 point kind of outburst, you know, output for Brandon Saad.
Yeah, definitely smart to kind of temper a little bit just to see how it plays out. And, you know, speaking of the Blackhawks, another major player that was on the Blackhawks last year who is not now is Patrick Sharp, and he joins the Dallas Stars on a team with Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin and Spezza. I mean, they got quite the offense all of a sudden. So with all that in mind, what do we expect to see from Patrick Sharp this year?
Yeah, let's not forget this was one of the highest scoring offense last year. So to add a guy like Patrick Sharp to it is very intriguing. I mean, obviously, we saw his ice time get cut majorly from playing over 18 minutes a game the last couple of years to playing, you know, 16:48 last year. You know, obviously 16 goals, a very down year. I think for me, I'm not as high on Patrick Sharp in Dallas. I think obviously it all depends on where he fits. I mean, is he going to be in the top six with this team? Probably going to be in there, but there's going to be some competition for him, that's for sure. I mean, let's not forget Valeri Nikushin back healthy. Patrick Eaves, how good was he last year playing with Pittman and Ben? I mean, he's going to push Patrick Sharp out of a top six. Alex Hemsky, where does he fit? I mean, obviously, is he still a top pick? Top six player. Brett Ritchie, a really good young scorer for this team. Does he fit in the top six? So I think I'm not as high on Patrick Sharp. Where I think he is obviously going to make his bread and butter is his power play. I mean, he's obviously 147 power play points in his career. Dallas struggled mightily on the power play. They do not have a point
You know, other than Goligoski and Klingberg, they do not have a point man that could play on the power play. Patrick Sharp will fill that role. So I think if you're looking for a guy that is going to make a mark on power play points and that's what you want to kind of hit a guy on, I think that's where you're going to hit on Patrick Sharp. But I don't think offensive-wise, I don't think he's going to have that much better of a year than maybe 40 to 50 points.
Okay. And then another interesting player who has switched coasts for that matter, Milan Lucic, now playing on the Los Angeles Kings. So what do you think, what are we going to see from him, and what do you think is going to happen there?
Yeah, I'm absolutely really high on Milan Lucic. I mean, look at this guy. He's going to get a chance to play with Anze Kopitar and Marin Gavrik on that top line. We know Dustin Brown's best days are behind him, and we could definitely see Lucic on that top line. Again, I think this guy has the potential to be a 30-goal scorer. He has been in the past. With this team, I think it's more 25, 27 range. Mm-hmm. But again, that's a huge bounce-back season for a guy who only scored 18 goals last year. I think, where he's going to make his mark, and that's obvious for a hard-hitting team like the LA Kings, hit and penalty minutes. If you're in a league that you value hits and penalty minutes, then I think Lucic moves up your board a little bit more. But again, I'm looking at 25 to 27 goals for me and Lucic.
Okay. And definitely good. It'd be really interesting to see how he gels with that top line if he plays there. And one final player we wanted to ask about, and who's on defense, is Mike Green, who came over from the Capitals, playing on the Red Wings now. You know, he's got a little bit of an offensive mentality and pretty good on the power play. So do you think that continues with the Red Wings for Mike Green?
Yeah, I think Mike Green, I think obviously he got a bad rap for his last couple of seasons. Obviously, really struggled, 2010 to 2013. Mm-hmm. Last 2 years, I think, were bounce back years for him, 38 points and 45 points. Obviously last year, 0.63 points per game, which is right at his average. It's almost expected of him to have 40 points a season. I like him on that power play. I mean, obviously, we'll see what's happened with Datsyuk's injury, but we know what Nyquist and Tatar can do. And guess what? He's going to be on that first power play. Mm-hmm. And I think with him, Nyquist, that healthy Datsyuk, Zetterberg, and Tatar on that first power play, I'm pretty excited for him. I think you're looking at him more as maybe your third defenseman selected as a nice balanced guy who's going to get just power play points. I don't look at him anymore as a number one or a number two defenseman on a fantasy league. But hey, if you have him as your third defenseman on your fantasy team, you can't do any worse than Mike Green.
Yeah, you have a deep roster if that's the case. So we wanted to kind of continue on with the rankings here a little bit, and the top 50, a lot of them are published out there. We wanted to get your take on who might be those type of players that are maybe ranked a little bit too high, like we're overvaluing them. Like, can you give us a couple of examples of players that fit that mold?
Yeah, I would think right now at the top of my list is Rick Nash. I mean, obviously career high 42 goals last season, tied his career at 69. I think for me it's probably a little bit going to have a regression this year. I think for sure he's going to need a healthy Matt Zuccarello. We saw what he could do with a healthy Matt Zuccarello. I'm not looking at him as being a 42 goal scorer, maybe closer to 30, 35. Another guy, I think, it pains me to say it, but Tyler Johnson, I'm really in love with this guy. I know it's tough to, he's kind of defined every eye. amazing freshman season followed with a terrific sophomore season. I think for me, it's going to catch up to him. Obviously, the long playoff race, the hurt wrist last year. For a guy like that, I think it's going to show some regression. I think a lot of people dropped him pretty high, and then I don't think he's going to kind of have the same kind of staying powers like, say, an Andre Pallott or Nikita Kucherov. I think those guys should hit a little bit more categories for me. Another guy I've always kind of been against, and I know a lot of people, he keeps on defying my odds, and I think it's Jonathan Toews. I think for me, losing a Brandon Saad is going to have a little bit of effect on a Jonathan Toews. Who is going to play on that line with him? Who's going to fill on that line? Could it be, Lefosa? Could it be a Teravainen? Could it be a Dano?
Yep.
you know, could it be, you know, a Tikhonov or a Panarin? I mean, I think for me, I think Jonathan Toews is one of those guys. For me, always his real hockey value is a little bit more than his fantasy value, and I think a lot of people take him second or third round. I a little too high for me in the top 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it'd definitely be very interesting to see. So you're saying for Tyler Johnson, go ahead and mark him down for 30 goals then, since you are a little bit low on him?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think you can expect 30 goals possibly for him, but it's going to be hard for me to really be extremely high on him, only because, like I said, I think the other line mates have a little bit more staying power, and I think the long playoff run will have a little bit more effect on him than anyone else, just because of his stature and the way he plays the game.
Yeah, good point there. And Matt Sitkoff is joining us here talking fantasy hockey with us, getting you ready for the season. And we wanted to turn our attention now to some sleepers. And obviously, these are the ones that don't get any attention. But ultimately, if you get a hold of them, they ultimately can be the difference between winning and losing. So we wanted to, you know, kind of go position by position. This is an overall whole. Give us three forwards that you think are a sleeper that we're not putting enough attention to, but they're going to exceed any expectations that are out there.
Well, I think your Columbus Blue Jackets fans will like my first two. I think Cam Ack has been my number one sleeper this year. I just really like what this guy can do in this lineup. I think the addition of Brandon Saad obviously helped him the most. I could see him on that top line with Johansson if they decide to split up Johansson and Foligno, which we'll see. But if not, boy, I mean, he could be on the second line with Brandon Dubinsky or Alexander Weinberg. Yeah. Marco Dano, a former Columbus Blue Jacket farmhand, first-round pick. I think this guy was the crown jewel of the Brandon Saad deal. I think this guy, I was really high on him last year. I think he showed a lot of great potential last year. And I think he's going to fit in. I think he could easily take the number two center. If not, if he moves to wing, he could be one of those wings on that top six for the Chicago Blackhawks. And we all know what it does, what kind of person you can get in the top six of the Chicago Blackhawks. Yeah. And last is a rookie. I think Nikolai Ahlers, you know, kid out of Halifax, first-round pick of the Winnipeg Jets. I think this guy immediately gets put in the top six for the Winnipeg Jets. And I think, you know, obviously it's Connor McDavid's Calder trophy to lose, but I think Nikolai Ahlers could be the runner-up. For me, and those definitely are my three forwards.
Yeah, he was so good in minors too. Definitely, it's a great call in that one. And yeah, I personally think Atkinson can get the 30 goals if he plays on the right side of Johansson and Brandon Saad. I mean, he got on a tear at the end of last year, March and April. He really turned it on and proved he can definitely live up to that expectation. Let's turn to defensemen. What three defensemen would you say people are kind of overlooking and would be considered a sleeper to you?
One of them has to be, again, another former Columbus Blue Jacket, James Wisniewski. I think this guy, I don't know what it was with Anaheim and his fit. I think, obviously, Simone Dupre just came in there and stole his job. So I think he's got a lot to prove in Carolina. And right now, behind Justin Falk, I don't see a lot in Carolina's defense. So he's going to get a lot of time, and I think he's going to be a lot of bounce-back candidates in Carolina. That was a team that just had a lot of bad luck last year. Matthew Dumba, this guy just looked, I was had the pleasure of watching him in the playoffs this year. Got to cover a lot of Minnesota, and I was just impressed with his poise. I think this guy, after Ryan Suter, is going to be an offensive force. You know, we all know about, you know, Jonas Brodin and Kristen Folland, but I think Matthew Dumba has much more offensive upside that we're really going to see this year, especially in Minnesota. I mean, if Jared Spurgeon and, you know, can Marco Scandella can have some good offensive numbers in Minnesota, there's no doubt about that Matthew Dumba can. And last is Danny DeKeyser. I think he is really kind of one of these defensemen that's kind of fallen off the radar a little bit. You know, Western Michigan undrafted kid, I think, playing right away. You know, we've kind of seen his development grow each year. I think this year in Detroit, him paired probably with Mike Green on that second pairing, I think will allow him to kind of blossom a little bit more and, you know, pick up a little bit more points because those D-to-D passes, you know, from Mike Green are always, you know, pretty impressive. And I think for me, sky's the limit for this kid. And we haven't really even seen seen offensively what he can do, and I think this year we will.
Yeah, they're all really solid calls out there. Matt Sitkoff is joining us here from NHL.com, and he's also a fantasy insider, does great work. I mean, you should definitely be following him at MSitkoffNHL. And we wanted to, finish off sleepers and talk about three goalies you think are kind of being overlooked that could rise up and have a really good year. What do you think?
Yeah, I think goalies are always the hardest, because I think you're always looking at backup goalies maybe to have a chance to steal some starts. But for me, I think first is Craig Anderson. I think, obviously, the Hamburglar stole a lot of headlines last year, but let's not forget who was their playoff goalie, was Craig Anderson. I think he's going to slip in a lot of drafts because of the Hamburglar. I think there's going to be some people that take Hammond before Craig Anderson, and I'm not ready to do that yet. I think it's a great story for Andrew Hammond, and he's going to have a good season, but I think Craig Anderson is going to be the number one guy. Tomas Greiss, and I think for me it's more about who's starting, not more about what Tomas Greiss can do. Yaroslav Halak, I mean, obviously had a great career year with the Islanders last year, but he sure looks shaky at times, and I think that's going to allow Jack Capuano to play Tomas Greiss a little bit more this year than he's played in years past with San Jose, Phoenix, Arizona, and Pittsburgh. And lastly, Michael Neuvirth. I think this guy is a one and a 1A with Steve Nason. Obviously, Nason had that career year last year, but let's not forget, Steve Nason has hurt a lot in his career and has not been proven to be a very durable goalie. With that in mind, I'm looking at a Michael Norberg to have a good season, because I think for sure he's going to get a lot more starts than you expected from a backup goalie.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And... well, we've talked about the rankings, we've talked about sleepers. Let's talk about draft strategy, especially for those who may be a little bit newer to fantasy or just getting involved with it. You know, you got the rankings ready, you're ready to go, but you want to have a winning strategy here. You want to be able to get an edge on the competition. So, Matt, what advice can you offer someone who's not quite sure how they want to approach a draft night or their plan of attack? What are some tips or secrets you can give them to be successful that night?
Yeah, I think for me, I think you've got to know roster depth. I think for me, you definitely have to know that center is the deepest position in fantasy hockey. Unless you're going to get one of those, obviously elite centers in Tavares, Crosby, Sagan, or Claude Drew, or Stamkos, or now McDavid. After that, I think you can look at center maybe deep a little bit later in the draft, because you can find some really good potential. And the sleepers, I think you've got to have your list of sleepers and look at who you think is going to be a sleeper and overdraft them. I think you've got to look at your sleepers and believe in them and maybe pick them around earlier than you thought they should be picked, because guess what? They're probably on someone else's list as well as a sleeper, so you've got to beat them to the punch. If you think, if you think one of these guys, like a Cam Atkinson, is more of a ninth or tenth round guy, we'll take him in the seventh or eighth round, because then you'll really believe in the guy, and that's someone you really did a lot of research in. And last is goalies. I'm not in the one that takes goalies pretty early. I think you could always find nice goalie finds in the later round. I think you need to go with your one goalie. Obviously, take him early. Your horse, that's who I'm talking about, is a Price, a Holtby, a Fleury, a Rene, a Quick, a Dubnyk, or a Lundqvist. But after that, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Fredrik Andersen last year was probably taken most in, sixth, seventh, eighth round, and this guy was one of the best fantasy goalies last year. Similar to Roberto Luongo, who I got in 11th round and was one of the best fantasy goalies. So, I think you always, I think there's a lot of people that overvalue goalies. Let them take, Henrik Lundqvist in the second round, and while you're taking a real good offensive player that will help you your season. And I think that's kind of one of my main, some of my main advice to drafters out there.
Yeah, if you can find value, definitely take advantage of it for sure. Talking about strategy, you could be sitting in a situation that night where you draft like a John Tavares early in your draft, and then it comes back to you and Kyle Okposa, somebody like that could possibly be the best player on the board at that point. What's your take on handcuffing a teammate? Is that something that you would do if you had the chance?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think there are some really great handcuffs out there. I think it's a very good strategy. I think you got to look at you know, some of the best ones, obviously, to you know, only target kind of the best ones. I think obviously Tavares Oposo is up there. The Sedin brothers, getting both of them is not a bad one. If you have Ovechkin, can you circle around and get a backstrom? I think one of the most underrated ones last year that I saw won a lot of people fantasy championships last year was the Giroux Voracek, because a lot of people could get a Giroux in the first round and then a Voracek in the third or fourth round. Not going to happen this year.
Right.
But, you know, obviously you could look at some of the other ones. Like if you do get a Connor McDavid, circle around and get a Taylor Hall. If you get a Tyler Johnson, then better get a Pilato Kucherov. Another one, obviously Johnny Boudreau. How good of a season he had. Don't forget, Yuri Kluder was a big reason for it. You know, I think you definitely have to pay attention to those. Don't fall in love with too many of them. And it might be tough to go first and second round. Go your top two guys, be on the same team. But at the same time, if they're elite, then I think it's worth it.
Absolutely. And we're going to end with the lightning round here at this point. We wanted to get a quick take on a bunch of different things, whether it be a rank on an interesting player, and then we have a couple of would-you-rather-have questions that a lot of fans would be asking because it might apply on draft night. So with that in mind, we wanted to start with, you know, McDavid and Eichel got all the attention, but is there anybody else in the 2015 draft class, like maybe a Dylan Strome or a Mitch Marner, if they make the NHL, that could have any sort of fantasy impact in your sight?
Yeah, I have three guys. Noah Hannifin from the Carolina Hurricanes, Pavel Zacha from the New Jersey Devils, and Mikko Rantanen from the Colorado Avalanche.
Okay. And how about Devan Dubnyk? Great story last year, helped Minnesota get into the playoffs. Do you think that he can repeat that, and where do you have him ranked?
Absolutely think he can repeat it. I think this guy is a top goalie. I have him right now as my seventh best goalie. I think draft him with ease. This is a good system in front of him. He has changed, turned his career around.
You talked about Taylor Hall earlier. Where exactly do you have him ranked, and what round do you see him going?
Third best left winger behind Ovechkin and Jamie Benn. I'm very high on Taylor Hall. Been since day one. I'm taking him probably third round this year.
Okay. Same thing. How about Ryan Johansson? Where do you have him ranked in what round?
Yeah, I have him in the top 20. I think this guy is definitely sky's the limit for him. I think he's upwards in part of his career. I think it's not under, you know, top 20. I say in a 10-team league, I think we're looking at a second-round pick.
Okay. And last year, the Avs did not have a good year at all. So going into this year, where do you have, like, a Gabe Landeskog, a Duchesne, and a Nathan MacKinnon? Where do you have those forwards ranked?
Yeah, I think if I had to rank the three, I would obviously have MacKinnon first. I think, you know, sophomore slump is now behind him. I think this guy, there was a reason he's the number one overall pick. After that, I have Matt Duchesne. Again, I think last year was a struggle for him, but he still put up pretty good numbers. And lastly, as Gabe Landeskog, never been really that high on him. I do think he hits a lot more categories than the other two, but I would definitely go MacKinnon, Duchesne, Landeskog if I'm taking an order for those three.
Okay, and you did mention earlier when we talked about top 50 you felt was being overvalued, you mentioned Rick Nash. Where would you rank him?
You know, I think for me, I think Rick Nash obviously will be ranked in the top 50 players. But for me, I'm staying away unless you get him, let's say, late in the fifth round or the sixth round, then maybe you take a flyer on him. But I think there's just name recognition alone. I think he goes in the third or fourth round, and I'm staying away from him in that aspect.
Okay. And we're going to switch here. Got a couple of would-you-rather-haves. And I want to start with goaltending. Would you rather have Marc-Andre Fleury or Braden Holtby?
Braden Holtby, I think, obviously, career year from last year. I think Washington's trending upwards. Really like what he did in the Brady Trotz and Mitch Korn. Braden Holtby.
Maybe in the first round, maybe second round here. Pair of teammates. Would you rather have Ryan Getzlaf or Corey Perry?
Ryan Getzlaf. I've always been a Ryan Getzlaf guy. I know Corey Perry has the mean streak, and everyone loves his penalty minutes. But for me, Ryan Getzlaf is the more complete player. Obviously, a great tandem to have, but for me, it's Ryan Getzlaf.
Okay. And how about a couple of defensemen, Dustin Byfuglien or Shea Weber?
You know, I'm not ready to give up on Shea Weber yet. I know Roman Yoshi is a meteoric rise and probably going to have, again, more points than Shea Weber, but I'm not ready to give up on him. I think this guy, this booming shot, 15, 17 goals is not out of the realm. Dustin Byfuglien, it's too inconsistent for me. I go Shea Weber.
Okay. And then a couple other goalies, about Sergei Bobrovsky or Corey Crawford?
Sergei Bobrovsky for me, bounce back year for him and the whole Columbus Blue Jacks organization. Corey Crawford, cup winner, not in love with him this year. I think Chicago takes a step back.
Okay. And a couple of defensemen here, this one I'm curious about. How about Victor Hedman or Drew Doughty?
Yeah, both second overall picks. This was one of the toughest ones to do in this one. Got to go with my man Drew Doughty. I think Victor Hedman is right below him. Obviously, we saw what he could do in the playoffs. But, I mean, Drew Doughty, 29 minutes a game, just plays out of his mind. I got to go with Drew Doughty.
And I got one final one here. And, you know, for Columbus fans, this will be interesting. If you had a choice between Connor McDavid or Nick Foligno, who would you take?
Connor McDavid. I know Nick Foligno, career year last year. I just am in love with Connor McDavid, like every NHL writer, and just excited to see this guy play.
Well, Matt, it's definitely great to have you on with us, you know, giving us a lot of information here to be able to take to our drafts, and just let us know real quick, where can we find, you know, you and your work?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best place is Twitter, at MSickoffNHL. I'm always tweeting out facts and figures for you. So, yeah, check me out on Twitter. I'm always willing to answer fan questions, and any draft questions you have, send them my way.
Well, Matt, thank you very much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks again for having me on.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate it, and we'll definitely look for you here throughout the season, you know, as things develop. And, you know, that's it for this week's part of this, the Hockey Writer Summer Preview, and we will see you next week.